Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Well, Bob, here we are in 2021. You remember when 2020 seemed really far away?
I remember when it seemed like it would never end. But one of the best things about a new year here on the podcast is that we get to talk to the WIT Award winners.
Oh, I love these podcasts. The WIT Award honors people who have impacted the faith of those around them, like WIT impacts the people in Odyssey.
This year, our winner was Kyle Maestri. He was nominated by his wife and fellow teacher, Annie.
They both joined us to talk about Adventures in Odyssey, the WIT Award, and more. Annie and Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, we've talked with a number of WIT Award winners over the years, but this is the first time that a winner has been nominated by their spouse. So, Annie, I want to start with you. How did you hear about this award, and what caused you to nominate your husband, Kyle?
We received the AIO Club subscription as a gift, and it was up in October. And so I was poking around on the website trying to figure out how to renew. And I saw the banner and clicked and read about the award, and it was kind of a no-brainer because Kyle was the first person that came to my mind. Thought, well, this would be fun to nominate him for that. He easily reminds me of WIT. Not only do I see others seeking him out for a prayer, but I also do. So I guess you could say I'm one of his biggest fans.
Well, you told us your family enjoys listening to Adventures in Odyssey on vacations and as part of the club. How do you most often listen to the show these days?
Most often we find ourselves in the kitchen preparing dinner or on a Saturday relaxing, and one of our children will have it running and then we'll get engrossed in it and have them turn it up, or there'll be three or four of them going in different parts of the house listening to different episodes. So that's how we find ourselves listening to it.
Well, this isn't a fair question because it's like asking you to pick a favorite child. But since the podcast is about making an impact on others, can you think of a specific Odyssey episode that has had a particular impact on your family, or maybe just a favorite family episode?
Listening to Adventures in Odyssey creates a culture in our family where just like if you watch a movie you love and you quote it and you talk about it and, you know, mimic it, or I see that happening. We talk about the silly things Eugene says or Wooten says, and we're quoting episodes and creating a family culture and connectedness over the episodes. We usually enjoy anything that Wooten is a part of and we laugh at him. We also receive the magazine and the girls love his Flow is Conscious Spot articles.
Yes.
And to be specific, the one where Camilla Parker, and I didn't look up the name of the episode, but she is going around offering forgiveness to everybody. I forgive you for this. I forgive you for that. And most of her family members are slightly confused. And this brought up an amazing conversation with our 10-year-old about what it means to forgive. How do you offer forgiveness appropriately when someone hasn't asked? Can you still forgive them? And things like that. And we've discussed that a couple different times with her as she tries to wrap her mind around this and understand forgiveness.
I'm still learning about forgiveness, and that episode, Forgiving More or Less, is a great one, and one that you can really dig into and learn a lot from.
Yeah, of course, this month in the club, you probably heard another episode about forgiveness, If I Never Told You. So it's a theme that we have dealt with a number of times in different ways. So, Annie, how do you see WIT in Kyle? I mean, we know both of them are teachers and fathers, but what other qualities do they share?
Well, off the top of my head, they both love ice cream.
Nice.
Beyond that, there's quite a few similarities. They both are well-read, they're well-spoken, they are great visionaries. But more importantly, I think that the similarity that struck me and made me want to nominate Kyle was they obviously seek God when they're giving a child counsel. They seek to point a child to the truth with scriptures. They share their own life experience, always pointing back towards Jesus. Kyle always tries to encourage children to go back to their parents for advice or guidance and forgiveness. And I've heard WIT do that many times. Another thing that reminds me a lot of WIT is that Kyle doesn't always just give the child the answer. He'll make them think for themselves. And sometimes he even asks opposing questions. So the child has to learn to express their beliefs for themselves and stand up for themselves.
Yeah, asking the right question. That's something that WIT does a fantastic job of and is so important to make, you know, encourage kids to make their faith their own and be able to come to a decision that they can truly stick to. So, Kyle, how did you find out that you won the WIT Award?
Well, I got a phone call, and actually my wife got the phone call and then handed me the phone, and then the person calling just told me about it, and I was kind of blown away. She had mentioned something back a month or two ago in passing that there was something about this, and I didn't really remember it or pay attention to it. I just kind of laughed and thought, oh, that's kind of fun. Thanks, babe. But then finding out that one came over Christmas break, and I got the call, and my children were running through the house and so excited and knew a whole lot more about it than I did. So I was honored and overwhelmed at the same time, very humbled.
So did you celebrate in any way, maybe ice cream or chocolate sodas of some sort?
I'd love to say we did. I'd love to say we did. We should have. But I think it was more just lots of jovial excitement. I think my wife then got on my phone and let everyone I know that I had won this award. So that was an honor as well. So.
Well, you both teach at a Christian school that you founded. Annie, your entry mentioned that the students seek out Kyle for encouragement, prayer, wisdom, and advice without betraying any confidences. Can you tell us a story or two about that?
I've been thinking about this question, and the hardest part is trying to narrow it down and just pick one or two, because I'm pretty sure I could fill a book with all of the stories about students seeking Kyle out. Every year he teaches a senior class, and the students have a chance to build a relationship with him, and they do seek him out to lead Bible studies or for prayer for family situations and oftentimes for accountability with sin. But what blows me away is that the amount of alumni that make an effort to seek him out. I would guess that about 75% of our graduates have made a real effort to contact him after high school. And those are the stories that kind of reverberated with me. We've heard from, or he's heard from, a new recruit calling from wherever he's stationed saying, hey, how do I keep my faith in the military, and asking for prayer? He's heard from an alumni who brings her boyfriend back so that she can get Kyle's approval on the relationship. He's heard from students that are calling from a secular university saying, oh, this is hard. You were right. And they're asking for prayer. He's heard from a graduate that calls to say, thank you. You've been like a father to me. And then Kyle helps this young man discuss the broken relationship that's in his family and his father's relationship, and how to process having a relationship with an earthly father who's broken, and then how that reflects a heavenly father. This summer, we had a group of alumni that said, hey, our summer plans got canceled because of COVID. Will you lead a Bible study? And no joke, they were up way too early on a summer morning to meet with him.
That's
but
great.
I'm the lucky one that gets to watch him guide our children through the same prayerful wisdom.
Yeah, you have four daughters, so that practice, Kyle, of checking out the boyfriends is probably a good thing right now, huh?
Yes. I'm practicing for sure for when my daughters get to that stage. It's been definitely a part of that working with kids. Thinking ahead to what I'll be working through with my own children. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I think back to my own high school experiences, just certain teachers, you know, my journalism teacher, if God hadn't put me in his path, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Or a U.S. history teacher who is also our Fellowship of Christian Athletes leader. You know, I mean, just such a huge impact you can have on kids. And Kyle, not only have your kids turned to you for, I guess, prayer and wisdom, but you've actually married several of them. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's just been a really an amazing thing to be in their lives for a season in the junior high and high school years, and then for them to invite us into that afterwards, just as Annie said so well. I don't know that I could live up to everything she said, but thank you. It's just the idea that there's a there's an ongoing relationship that I've tried to cultivate with them, and just want to still be in their lives. And they invite me into that. And the last 3-4 years started having some students come around and ask if I would consider being a part of their wedding and doing their ceremony. And so I approached my church and asked if they would consider an ordaining for that purpose, and went through the process of becoming ordained. And we have actually three weddings in June this year. And so it's really been a great thing for now the kids can come back and we can talk to them and their spouse and try to build into them the amazing values that we've been able to be a part of, even beyond their education, now into their life and their values as husband and wife. And then that invites Annie into the space also to be a part of that as we kind of do some premarital discussions and with them before that. So, yeah, it's been an incredible, incredible honor to be invited into that with them, and just such a joy to be co-laboring with the Spirit in that with them.
Yeah. Yeah. For many kids, you know, their world at home is separate from the one at school. It's the same for many parents. Their workplace and home life are totally different.
Well, not as much these days.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. That line has been blurred for all of us these past 9 months. But COVID notwithstanding, for you two, your home, school, and work overlap in a unique way because your daughters attend your school. How has that dynamic affected family life?
That's definitely been really such a blessing to have us all on the same page, I would say. My grandmother taught me years ago about the three-legged stool, that the school, the home, and the church all working together for discipleship. And that's really what we've been able to see with our kids, to kind of unifies all those things together on the same page. Obviously, it comes with its logistics of coordinating the kids getting to and fro and us doing schoolwork and housework and even Annie and I working on preparing for things for the next day at home. And so there's a lot involved, but it really is an honor to invite these other teachers who share our values, who share our love of Jesus and our love of the scriptures into the lives of our children to disciple them with us and become partners. So that's been a really great thing for us.
Yeah, and since both of you worked with children so often, you've probably seen practical ways that kids can have an impact on one another, or even how kids can impact the adults in their lives. So can you share some advice for our podcast listeners who want to be a John Avery Whitaker to others?
Yeah, I guess it starts with prayer and vision. It starts with just beginning to look outside yourself. I think that's a big part of a journey for kids today, is begin to look at others and ask God for being able to see them the way He sees them. And as you start to see what He sees and He places people on your heart, having the courage to approach them and be able to reach out to them. And it starts by just asking a question. Hey, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? I noticed this today. Are you doing all right? And the more you kind of make those inroads, then people start to see that you really do care about them. And then also not being afraid to be vulnerable before them. You cannot try to present something you're not, and people don't want that. They want an authentic person. And so being able to be real about your mistakes or about your struggles with people really allows them to connect and invites them to open up to what's going on in their life. So I would say it really comes down to a couple of things like that, where you start to pray and look for people outside yourself that might need to they might be on the fringes. You might not just be concerned about your own friends at school, but be thinking about that kid in the corner who might look like they might be going through something, and just be willing to reach out to them and open a door and see what God would do there. I think that's one of the key things there, because then you become somebody that's trusted and somebody that you can build a relationship, and they start to, it may not happen all overnight, but allowing that to patiently unfold in relationships with while listening and praying to the Father to hear His voice.
Yeah, you mentioned about kids reaching out to other kids. They've never been more connected, and yet they've never been lonelier than this generation, right?
Yeah, I think if you ask most kids today, do you feel like you're the only one that doesn't have friends in this way or that way, or do you feel alone or whatever? And they will almost all say, yeah, that is me, and I don't think anybody else feels that, when in fact that's really that a lot of people are feeling that way. They're feeling disconnected. They're feeling alone. And just being open about that is really helpful.
Yeah, and I love what you said about courage. You know, it's not, I always think wisdom when I think of wit, but he's so courageous, and it takes a lot of courage to reach out and also to be vulnerable. So I love what you said about that.
Annie, I don't want to cut you off and not give you an opportunity to weigh in on this question as well. Is there anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think I just echo the sentiment of praying for others. We had a daughter come home and said, she was very frustrated. She said, I'm sitting next to the most annoying boy in the world. And I said, all right, well, you know what that means. You need to start praying for him. And so every evening we would pray for him. And it had been a few months and I hadn't heard anything about this annoying boy. And I asked, and she said, oh, he's fine. He's not annoying. And so I just saw God change her heart and grow compassion for him. And she's not his best friend or anything, but she doesn't carry animosity towards him anymore because she's able to see him more as Jesus sees him and offer him love.
Mm. I think Wooten has done the same with Mrs. Kramer. You might just let her know that.
Yes. Right.
Well, let's turn it around and look at it from another perspective. For the child seeking some encouragement, wisdom, and advice, a mentor perhaps, if they don't already have that at home, how should kids go about finding that person?
Yeah, I love that question. I really think it's, you know, looking around their life at the people that they seek to emulate. They look at their relationship with Christ, or they look at where they are in their marriage, or they look at where they are just ahead of them, and they say, I want to be like that someday. And then approaching that person and saying, you know, I know this may seem a little strange, but would it be all right if, you know, we talk from time to time? Could I just share with you a little bit of what's going on in my life and maybe ask you to pray with me about things from time to time? And most adults I know that are in those places are just waiting for kids to open those doors and to be open to pouring into them. And so it takes a little bit, like you said, courage. But the other thing that can happen is if students don't feel comfortable approaching that person on their own, they could actually get a couple of friends and say, hey, could we just talk to you about the things we're thinking about? And would you be willing to pray with us? And just approach them with a question or approach them with some sort of an inquiry about the things they're thinking about with faith. And I think that more adults are looking for that these days and don't always know how to cross that barrier. And so if kids are willing to ask a hard question, that can open that door. And vice versa, I think adults mm-hmm. can be looking for kids to kind of ask a question or two and see. And so, but somebody has to start it. So try to develop a culture of being open with each other.
Let me ask you this, Kyle, because I can't help but feel that generation gaps, they always occur. But is it especially difficult right now with the world changing so much to relate to people who are 25 years younger than you are?
Well, you know, on some levels, yes. When you think about technology that they or entertainment, that we might not connect on those same things. But in other levels, not really. It's the same. It's always been. People are people. They're going through similar insecurities. They're going through similar feelings of things. And a lot of what we believe about each other is based upon paradigms that we get from other sources like the media and things, rather than reality of what someone's actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And so being careful not to caricature both the older generation, not caricaturing the younger generation, and the younger generation, not caricaturing the older generation, and being afraid of what they might see there, but instead actually allowing that relationship to unfold for itself, I think is one way to get over that and think through that. Because, yeah, there's differences. We talk different languages in terms of technology, in terms of entertainment, in terms of the things that we're interested in. But we're still the same people with the same needs, the same desires. And yeah, these kids are into different things than I was, but they still have the same feelings I did when I was walking through those halls. And so I think just more people understanding those differences as somewhat superficial is helpful.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to hear you say that, because Jesse and I love kids. And the older we get, the more we worry that maybe we're not as connected to their world as we want to be. And it's good to hear you say that.
Yeah. Yeah, when I talk to students, they're hungry for adults who want to be in their lives. They don't know how to say that. They act like they want a world apart from them, but in reality, they are hungry for adults that will listen. That's one of the key things, is that they need to listen, not just talk, for kids to feel like they're being connected with.
Yeah, and the awesome thing is God's truth never changes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, and like you said, the needs the needs that he put into each human are the same. Those needs for connection and authenticity and somebody who hears you. Fantastic conversation. You know, and after talking with you both, it's obvious the Witt Award is going to the right family. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
These interviews always inspire me. They make me want to be more like Kyle and Witt and try to make a difference with the people around me.
If you missed this year's award, nominations for the Witt Award 2021 begin in the fall. So keep an eye out for the Witts in your life in the coming days.
But before we go, Bob, what's going on in the club right now?
Well, we just released The Protector from album 70 yesterday, and we'll release the album finale, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, next Tuesday.
And then all six episodes of album 70, Finding a Way, will be available in the club?
Right. Plus, of course, we have this month's exclusive club adventure, If I Never Told You.
Let's hear a preview of that one now.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Penny gets an out-of-the-blue phone call from...
Your favorite artist, Claude Lorraine.
No, my Aunt Beatrice from Alaska.
When an invitation is extended, expectations rise.
My mom will be so excited to see her big sister.
Could there be even more surprises than Penny expects?
I will not stay in the same cabin as that woman.
It's a Bassett-wise Christmas like no other. This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Huh, sounds like a great way to keep the Christmas spirit alive.
Right down to the hot cocoa.
I can't wait to listen. But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Our address is adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast. You can join the club at aioclub.org or give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.